out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 189. This is the Santa's Coming edition. We have just a couple episodes left until we hit the Yuletide, so hopefully everybody out there is having a great week. So far, so good here at the Caffeination headquarters and in work. Everything's going pretty much smooth. Everything's slowing down towards the end of the semester. So just wanted to kind of work out all what you're going to hear on today's show. On today's show, you're going to hear about any and all the following topics and or conversations. You're going to hear about UPS, caffeine spray, grades sugar, the Commodore 64, the venerable Commodore 64, by the way, mice and frozen iPods. Yes, you heard me right with all of that. this is, of course, the Caffeination Podcast, lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. And this is episode 189. I think we already talked about that a little bit. I am Paul, your host. Don't know if I said that already. This episode is being recorded on 12/12/2007, direct live to hard drive. You can listen to it any point after that, because before that it'd just be a little bit weird. All right, we'd just like to welcome all of our new and returning listeners here to the podcast. We like to think we're a pretty close-knit family. People keep coming back, at least we hope they do. People keep coming back week after week, show after show. If you'd like to contribute anything to the show, if you'd like to add your own special blend, if you'd like to just write in or do something else like that, comments, feedback, suggestions, whatever else you'd like to do, you can fire that off to caffeination@gmail.com. Or you could leave a voice message over at 215-240-1319. I was actually looking at a different phone number there and just wanted to make sure. I was like, whoa, hold on. All right. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. If you'd like to find us, we already told you about that. Website, email, phone, Skype, homing pigeon, whatever else you would like to figure out on how to get to us, all the contact details, all the pertinent information, as the case may be, is located lovingly nestled, as we said before, at caffeination.com. So we have a great show lined up for you today. There's a whole bunch of stuff happening. We're doing a little bit of we got the dual pod safe music coming at you, firing twice today. We have one artist that we have played here before on the podcast. I think we started playing this artist probably around like episode 9 or 10. When things started going wrong, I found one of his songs that just seemed to fit the mood in the old Caffeination HQ when we were still living in the apartment. And I've just been sticking with him since. He has great music. I'm talking about the one, the only Little Thumb. If you'd like to find out more information on him, you can find it out at myspace.com/littlethumbmusic. Just want to make sure I got that right. Little Thumb Songs, I'm very sorry. And then we have another PodSafe artist here today. Also, first time with today's show, so we have the old, we have the new. This would be Jim Goodrich. It's a great, great Christmas songs all for you today. We have Have a Merry Little Christmas and Deck the Halls both. We're going to split them up just like we did last time. A little bit of caffeine and food. We're going to switch the episode up a little bit. And then we're going to give you the second episode, or second helping of PodSafe Music Network. It's the holidays. Everybody needs a little bit extra in their stocking, you know what I mean? But first off, we would like to talk to you about today's sponsor. This Caffeination Podcast is sponsored, as always, by GoToMeeting, and we had recently had a fantastic experience with GoToMeeting over at the Tech Podcast Network. We had the Xmas, I can't believe I actually said that. We had the Christmas round table over there. I was actually one of the presenters, so if you'd like to, you can head on over to techpodcast.com and check that video out. You'll see all the different things that I would like to see under the tree this year. Don't really know if I'm getting any of them, but hey, it's half the fun. You know what I mean? Santa works in mysterious ways. So if you're looking for a better way to present or collaborate during your conference calls, your solution is simple: web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your calls, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. It gives you the freedom to do what you want. We had people in Hawaii, people in the middle of the country, my lazy butt all the way over in Philadelphia. While I would have loved to fly to Hawaii for this whole shindig, it just didn't really work out in the schedule, the budget, and everything else. You save all that when you go with GoToMeeting. You never have to leave your office. You'll not only end up saving time, but money as well. See for yourself. yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. We'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. We have had the very good fortune of having GoToMeeting as a sponsor since last November. Yes, we have had one whole year and 1 month of sponsorship. It's been pretty cool. Successfully monetized podcast. My original goal for doing this show was that it would not be a burden financially on my family, that it allows me to, I guess the easiest way to say is, you know, it allows me to just have my little hobby without doing anything. So we've been able to take care of hosting fees, we've been able to pay for coffee every once in a while. Hey, it's all good, you know what I mean? So thank you very much to GoToMeeting. And up first here from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have Little Thumb with Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Enjoy.
A merry little Christmas, let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas, make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be far away. Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. A shining star on the highest bough. And have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Again, that was Little Thumb from the PodSafe Music Network with his song Have a Merry Little Christmas, and that you can be found over at music.podshow.com or at his website myspace.com/littlethumbmusic or Little Thumb Songs. He's just going to have to register Little Thumb Music after all these mess ups. All right, we have a great show lined up for you today. We have plenty of caffeinated bits, a little bit of tech cruft, and then we're going to head you on out in between that with another little piece of PodSafe Music. I can't thank Little Thumb enough for putting his stuff up on PodSafe Music. There's just something about his music, just all of it just kind of speaks to me. It's really kind of fun, whimsical at times, but just has a great tone to it, and you can tell he's like a real guy who's, you know, it's not overproduced. There's nothing clinical or cold about it, and it also doesn't sound like just somebody in their basement, which is kind of what I am right now, but still, we work towards a more professional sound, but still. Up first in the caffeinated and or caffeine and food section, we have probably one of the stupidest products that I've ever seen come down the pike. I mean, other than the caffeine pills that I've seen. This is called Primer. This is from our fine friends over at energyfiend.com. They just reported it. They're not actually producing it. Primer is a caffeine spray. Yes, that's right. You lift your tongue up, you spritz under there, and 33 milligrams of caffeine per spritz are whisked directly into your bloodstream, absorbed through the tongue. Now, who here isn't going to think that kids out in the open are just going to crack the top of this off and pour the sucker down their throat? I mean, that's just... Whoa. Sorry for blowing out the microphone there, but I don't even know. You're going to get this for $5 a tube, and you're going to have kids' like hearts explode. We used to do something called the PFA here at the Caffeination Podcast, Potential for Abuse. This is off the charts. I mean, you have kids that are doing stupid stuff, like inhaling paint. You have kids that spray the canned air up their nose for the high. You're going to give them a spray with caffeine? While I think it's an interesting idea, I think people have gotten a little bit away from the whole thing, and the caffeine's just like a buzzword that everybody puts into a product. Caffeine, guarana, taurine, all this other stuff that's floating around in Red Bull. I mean, and this is from a guy who runs the Caffeination podcast. It's out of hand. 8 milliliters, 1,400 milligrams of caffeine in this 1.5 milliliter tube. Or $5 tube. I mean, that's just... What else do you got to say there? That's just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. And the sad thing is, when I see energy drink reviews and stuff like that out there, you know, everybody seems to be saying the same thing. There's nothing new in the there's nothing new in the realm. Everything's just everybody's just over flavored, over hyped, over nasty product with, you know, hip cool names. It's, I don't know. I lead the caffeine lifestyle. I'm a highly caffeinated individual, just as a matter of course. So the next story also kind of like speaks to me. Apparently, there's a lovely news story coming out of Louisiana State University, the Daily Reveille. This is from way back on the 7th, 5 days ago. Can you believe we're stretching back this far? Coffee could be hindering university students' grades. Excessive caffeine may have negative effects, like coming up with stupid product names like Primer. All right, that aside, it's a fun little article. I think it's actually student written, but still, they talk a lot about the different things that are happening as students are getting ready for finals. At least in the case of the university where I work, they're winding up finals. Finals are done on Friday, and then, you know, I'm free for a month. Not really free, but still, it just gives me time to recoup and get everything all back in order for them to come back in and mess it up again. Hey, it's the grand cycle of life. But, you know, every year and every semester, we just get a little bit better. Things seem to fall into place just a little bit more. We figure out what didn't work last semester, and then we move on. But that's, again, beside the point. Here, what we got, they're talking a little bit about the different coffee shops that they have on campus and stuff like that. And they say that there is no basically empirical evidence, as the case may be, for a caffeine actually increasing data retention or anything else like that. What they do, however, caution you about is a twofold problem here. The first of which being that anything adverse effects can happen due to over intake of caffeine. So anything over 250 milliliters of caffeine or milligrams, man, I got to get everything so straight. Milligrams of caffeine can start to give you adverse effects, meaning stuff like the shakes, heart palpitations. You know, it goes on and on and on. Anybody who's ever had too much coffee, you understand what I'm talking about. Pretty much anything, they say anything more than 2 cups of coffee is an overdose. So I've been overdosing for probably about 6 years now. That's all right for most people. I mean, you have to build up kind of a tolerance to it, you know. And then the other thing that they talk about a little bit is the actual fat content. There's no fat per se in coffee as it sits. You know, black coffee, which is pretty much what I drink, rock that all day and all the night, you know what I mean? But, there's no fat content per se in that, but the problem that people run into is their cappuccinos, their non-fat lattes. Even though that's a non-fat latte, there's something in there. You know, there's sugar, there's something else. Actually, I think non-fat latte is probably non-fat, but still, that was a stupid thing to say. The frappuccinos, the mochaccinos, all your chinos in there have a higher fat content. I think they were saying something like a normal cappuccino, like a small cappuccino from Starbucks, is actually somewhere like a half of a Big Mac in calories. something along those lines. It wasn't actually in this article. It was in a different one. But still, I just wanted to kind of put it out there. All the people who are trying to cram for finals, they're saying it can allow you to stay up to 4 hours up 4 hours past the normal time at which you would have passed out or gone to sleep. I, however, disagree, because I've seen evidence, both empirical and stated and everything else, where you can stay up far past 4 hours if you correctly hack your head. It involves a mixture of high-protein meals, caffeine, and everything else like that. It's crafting your body's chemistry in such a way that you do not at any point in time ever have the shakes. You are alert, you are well-fed, and you are healthy throughout your extended period of learning. Which brings me to the next little fun story we got here. It's kind of a counter. It's the yin to the other one's yang. This would actually be a personal blog from over at keywords.blogspot.com. This is just a fun little blog. man, I just lost the... by a guy named... guy or girl named Danielle. Danielle? Oh, man, I'm screwing up here. Basically, it says that they are experiencing the wonderful world of caffeine, and they're also experiencing what is called the caffeine nap. Caffeine nap is basically a way for you to reduce the amount of sleep that you need by drinking a large cup of caffeinated beverage beforehand. So you drink the caffeinated beverage, you go directly to sleep. You need... I don't know. I guess you need to do it like almost directly right before. What your body does is it never hits the really deep REM sleep, and it actually wakes you up after 2 hours or 3 hours instead of, you know, the full 6 or 8. I usually hit around 5 or 6 hours of sleep, and I usually have coffee at night. It's not that I'm speaking to this article per se, but I was actually just sort of sitting there thinking about it, going, you know, have I just been taking caffeine naps for the past couple of years? Because, I mean, every once in a while I'll crash for like 7 hours, maybe 8 hours, but I usually wake up with a headache because of it. But, I mean, seriously, I usually and traditionally run on 5 hours of sleep, and I'm pretty well functioning in the morning. I mean, yeah, I don't remember a lot of stuff for the first hour, but I've always been that way, even without the caffeine. So it just kind of, you know, got me thinking, and, you know, I've seen people do different kinds of sleep cycles and everything else like that. Sleep has always seemed kind of to be a waste of time to me, and I never really thought about, you know, it's because there's so many other things you could be doing. So, you know... just kind of thought that was interesting, thought I'd pass the article along so you could see exactly what a caffeine nap is. And it's just basically, it seemed almost perfectly crafted as a response, because it's obviously a student blog. The person's well written. They said caffeine's basically helping them through their finals, helping them stay up, that little extra added thing. And the other one's saying, you know, caffeine might be a detriment. Well, you know, obviously most people know how to use it correctly. If you have somebody doing caffeine highballs, sitting there chugging pots of coffee, then, you know, you might have some issues. All right, now the next little thing we have up here, I wish I actually had it before we did the roundtable, because this is called Top 8 Coffee and Tea Stocking Stuffers. I'm actually going to comment on these, as opposed to say that these are exactly what I would like. The top one's flavored syrups. Flavored syrups are all right for the people who like really flavored coffees. I prefer a spice blend because they don't add the extra sugar. I'm not a real big fan of sugar because sugar gives you that false high, and then you come crashing down like nobody's business. So these are all right. They're interesting to add. They're much more, at least I think, for casual coffee drinkers. You could add them to soda, to seltzer water, or I've even seen people use them in seen people use them in alcoholic drinks and whatnot. Number two is the latte whip. It's actually a tiny little whisk, motorized. You hit the battery and it turns the milk into froth for use with cappuccinos and whatnot, or hot chocolate. I would actually agree. This is a really cool thing. It's a really interesting idea. Number three is the tea ball and strainer. We've actually talked a little bit about something called the Chiazzo tea stick. It's something similar to this, except it's around the size of a cigar. You put your loose tea in that, and then you use it as a stirrer as well. I don't know why they have lip balm on here. They have measuring spoons, always useful, an espresso tamper, which is basically a perfectly flat weighted stamp that allows you to kind of pack the espresso into the espresso maker, and then the pewter coffee scoops, a decorative touch to your coffee brewing area, and number eight is espresso pods. Now, I'd like to change things around here and propose two other things. If you have somebody on your list that loves coffee, I mean, we're talking really enjoys coffee or really enjoys tea, there's two perfect things you could get them. Either a gift card to some place to allow them to purchase coffee, or a really good varietal of either coffee or tea. Something that they wouldn't normally spend. Like, if you know somebody who's a wine connoisseur, what you would get them for Christmas would probably be a bottle of wine. Like, if these are close personal friends here, you might get them a bottle of wine that they might not have gotten otherwise. Or you might go in with one or two other people. I mean, I'm not saying go out and buy the goofy Kopi Luwak coffee, you know what I mean? But I am, you know, that's the 100-some-odd dollar for 8 ounces. What I am, however, saying, you know, if you happen upon some place that has, you know, like fresh roasted Ethiopian coffee or something like that, and you know that this person might enjoy it, why not spend, you know, $10 instead of, you know, getting them a generic gift card or something? It's a good idea. But then again, on the other hand, the whole gift card to either Starbucks, if they swing that direction, or, you know, gift card to 7-Eleven, Wawa if you're in the Philadelphia area, or other things like that, you know, it's always appreciated. Dunkin' Dunkin' Donuts, etc., etc. So there's a couple things in there I agree with, a couple things I'm like, eh, not so much. And then the last little thing we have here is a recipe for Christmas spiced sugar for coffee. Now, this is something I hadn't considered. What they do is they take brown sugar and they add various spices to it, and they mix it all up, and they allow the person to add the spice as a part of the sweetener, which isn't something that I had actually considered, and it's pretty interesting. I might actually have to try this, and we are going to actually have a fun little article coming out in a couple days. I'm still working on it, which is going to be holiday coffee brewing for those people who have relatives and whatnot coming over. It's how you need to prepare yourself for to have a festive holiday gathering while still providing coffee for one and all. And you know, it's going to hopefully speak to people who are either, you know, in the non-fat mocha latte world or and also people who are in other worlds. But it's definitely going to have to be something that I'm going to try here. But this is from icecreamireland.com, crazy cool domain name here, and it was actually just posted today. Actually, that's weird. It was said it was posted at 10:17 p.m., but I don't know. All right, but that's your recipe for Christmas spiced coffee. Basically, it's an eighth of a teaspoon of ground cloves, an eighth of a teaspoon of ground nutmeg, ground ginger, 1.5 teaspoons of ground ginger, 1.25 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cardamom, I'm not really sure what that is, and 500 grams of dark brown sugar. While that seems really good, I would much rather prefer a simpler spice blend. So if I was going to be setting somebody up for a spice blend for different things, like if I was going to say, you know, this is obviously the way you would want to go, I would probably go with probably a cinnamon and nutmeg blend, like a simple, really, I'd say about a teaspoon of cinnamon and a eighth of a teaspoon of nutmeg is probably where you want to go. Or actually, you know what, cinnamon and cloves is probably a much better pairing. But, you know, when you start adding multiple spices in, you run the risk of people just not liking a certain spice. Most people like cinnamon, and cloves are unbelievably fragrant, so it's a pretty much safe bet to do something like that. Or it would also be kind of cool to have like an assortment. You could have the cinnamon sugar, you could have all other kinds of things right down the row. But a really good stuff from over there, so hopefully you'll check that out. All right, now next up from the PodSafe Music Network, we have music.podshow.com. We have a fantastic song by Jim Goodrich called Deck the Halls. You might have heard of it before. You can find his stuff out by, I'm sorry, it's James, you can find his stuff at jamesgoodrich.com. I don't know why, but I always get confused, Jim and James. I know it's the same name. I know I have buddies and everything like that, but every once in a while when somebody switches the use of their name in the middle of the context, it throws me off for a loop there. So again, from Jim/James Goodrich, and the PodSafe Music Network, here we have Deck the Halls.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa la 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 la. Ancient Yuletide carol, fa la 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 la. See the blazing Yule before us, fa la 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 la. Strike the harp and join the chorus, fa la 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 la. Follow me in merry measure, fa la 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 la. While I tell of Yuletide treasure, fa la 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 la. Fast away the old year passes, fa la 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 la. Hail the new ye lads and lasses, fa la 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 la. Sing we joyous all together, fa la 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 la. Heedless of the wind and weather, fa la la la.
Jim Goodrich and his song Deck the Halls, kind of an acapella. I'm pretty sure all of those voices are actually his. And you can find his stuff over at the Podsafe Music Network or at his website, jamesgoodrich.net. Fantastic stuff. It just kind of spoke to me on a certain level. I wasn't really sure what to do with it when I first heard it. I was like, you know what? This is a really good, really catchy song. And I really don't know how to file it. So, you know, I want to pass it along to you. Hopefully, you're enjoying our little elements of Christmas cheer sprinkled throughout the episode. We would like to head right on into the Tech Cruft edition. This is just random bits of information that I found lying about the internet. So hopefully you'll dig what we got to do here. First up is actually a fun article that I was reading from a guy who goes by the name of New Media Jim. This is Jim Long, who's a cameraman for NBC. Now, if you have never heard of this guy before and you're on Twitter, you need to follow New Media Jim, all one word. He has crazy experiences, like from somebody like myself who does not exist in a world like that. Like when you're sitting there and you read his tweets and he's talking about things like Hillary Clinton just walked by or Obama just walked by or you know, like he's in an interview with Condoleezza Rice or something like that. He's the cameraman. He's not the focus of the interview. He's just there and letting you know about how things are going. So it's just one of those things where it's like, wow, I'm not close to these people, but I feel vicariously like I'm experiencing it nonetheless. So it's really cool, really interesting to see from a very emic perspective, from very much inside the realm of media and how they perceive things. So he wrote an article there about how local TV has become doing a transformation. I'd like to actually say local media in general is doing a general transformation. I mean, you can get information anywhere. You can get information about Iraq absolutely anywhere. The national topics, the major global phenomenons and things like that, you don't need to tune into your local news anymore. You don't need, you know, because you can always check out NBC, CNN, Fox, wherever your poison may lie. You could go to citizen journalism. You could go to blogging and whatnot. There's a small but very forceful movement within big media companies that where they're getting into new media space. They're getting into different interesting things that are happening. So they're getting into podcasting. They're getting into video blogging. They're doing a lot more hyper local content to where you have like the local station doing podcast and things like that that are only focused on really local things. And we're not talking like the goofy local connections that they had been doing, which is the way they try and connect you to the Iraq situation or something like that, where they would talk to a family of a soldier who's over there. I mean, yes, that's a very real and a very valid point to look at it and to, a very valid way to enter into that discussion. But at the same point in time, you need to back off just a little bit and say, okay, we understand what's happening in the world around us, and yes, you do need to inform people, but on the other side, what is happening in my neighborhood that I don't know about? What are the things that are going down in Philadelphia that I haven't heard about? And I really like the fact that especially the newspapers seem to be really grasping new media and kind of trying to take it into interesting directions. So if you'd really like to take an interesting look at, very, like I said, very emic perspective, his blog's called vergenewmedia.com. It's the intersection of old and new media, and it truly is. He is incredibly ingrained within new media. He has, an incredible amount of followers on Twitter and a whole bunch of other stuff going his way. So it really would, if this kind of stuff interests you, it really would behoove you to actually head on over to his blog and just check it out, specifically the story that I linked up. All right, moving right along. This is another little thing where it's a really cool idea to actually to just see how the other side lives almost. This is actually a link to an interview with the IT manager of the South Pole. Yes, the one second, I don't want to screw this up. Amundsen Scott South Pole Station. Computer World did an interview with the man who is in charge of the IT down there. So it's like, they have an average temperature of negative 64 degrees Fahrenheit. It was 6.3 knot wind. So I mean, that's the temperatures at the time that they did this interview, and it just I need to go through here and check it all out, but I haven't. I've done a cursory glance here. I definitely just wanted to pass this along to people because I thought it was a fantastic resource to something you really don't see a lot of. I mean, this is like IT on the edge. I mean, if you thought your users were power users, you really need to check this out. I mean, the geographic South Pole. I mean, absolutely crazy. So yeah, there's IT down there as well. So it'd be really interesting and would probably behoove you to check that out. Yet another little fun tidbit that I found out. My first computer in the world was the Commodore 64. My parents bought it. I don't know how old I was when they got it, but I remember we had it plugged into the black and white TV in our dining room. It was in the dry sink, a kind of strange piece of furniture now that I actually think about the name years later. But this was a crazy interesting piece of hardware. My dad actually started programming on it. He had one program done in BASIC, I think, where he had a balloon. You know, he had a QBASIC book, and he had the disk popped in with little cartridges and everything else like that, and he had a little balloon that was moving around the screen. And that was my first introduction to using computers. So, I mean, it was just crazy to think that the Commodore 64 has turned 25. That's right. As of Monday, December 10th, 2007, the Commodore 64 is a venerable 25 years old. So, just wanted to pass that along, kind of a little tidbit, you know, the more you know kind of thing, a little star going across your head. But interesting, because if you really wanted to classify it in the realm of Mac versus PC, and the only reason I'm talking about that is, I'll get to that in a second. If you really wanted to classify it, it would actually be a completely third system here, because it ran the Commodore operating system. It did not run Windows, DOS, or anything else like that. This was more powerful than a PC, that, you know, or a not a real PC, like PC as in personal computer. This was more powerful than a Microsoft DOS-based machine, an MS-DOS-based machine. This was more powerful than some of the Apples that were of the time, and it was definitely more powerful in a consumer sense because they were just so massive. I really don't know why they died out. I mean, it was done by IBM, or an offshoot of IBM, from what I understand. But still, I'm probably speaking incorrectly on that one. I mean, hey, I was a kid, what do you want? But still, just kind of interesting thought, you know, thinking back to the old games, and I actually pulled a couple of the old text adventures from Infocom out, playing Zork and stuff like that the other day. You know, I think it was like Tuesday night, I had a little bit of free time, so I was like, you know what, I'm going to relive some of the Commodore 64 glory days. So I had Zork popped in there, had a little bit of, you know, the murder mystery detective stuff, all the basically choose-your-own-adventure text-style stuff. So, you know, if you'd like to venture back in time, just do a little search for Zork. It's free online now. Zork 1, by the way. All right, now the next little thing we have up here is kind of a fun, strange topic. Everybody's trying to find a way to reduce their carbon footprint to become more green technology in general. And everybody right now is actually shipping presents, especially if you're like most geeks and you're shopping online. So what can Brown do for you? Apparently, Brown can save you a whole heap of miles. UPS has 95,000 trucks on the road. So they're trying to increase the efficiency of these things, and they're trying to cut down on left-hand turns by doing so. I don't know. I mean, it does take more miles to actually cross over the left-hand side of the if you have a two-lane road and the truck's going one way, he has to cross opposing traffic to actually make it onto the other one, the other way. And I assume that, you know, left-hand turns are a little bit harder to do than right-hand turns. You can make a right-hand turn on red in Philadelphia, unless it's posted otherwise. Some places I know you can't, but still. So it's kind of strange, and I really like the way that they're thinking here. They're really thinking outside the box. They're really, you know, saying, you know what, we have a problem here. We use a massive amount of fuel. We have a ton of drivers. So we're going to use these fun little GPS units, and we're going to manufacture routes that reduce the number of left-hand turns. So they're going to go completely around the world, but only to the right. That's correct. What you're trying to do here, it's a package flow software program that I believe was developed in-house. It maps out the best possible routes for each one of the drivers. Now, here's what they have what they say has this thing has helped save. Now you're like, okay, they're cutting down left-hand turns. That's what, like, what, 45 feet every time you make one? Well, I believe it's a little bit more than that. It's not just cutting down on left-hand turns. It's planning the routes better to get where they need to go, when they need to go, in the shortest possible distance by making the shortest number of inadvisable turns, I guess they could say. I guess you would say, actually. So according to UPS, this is a quote from Engadget, these improved maps have helped shave 28.5 million miles off its delivery route in the past calendar year, which translates into a 31,000 metric ton cut in CO2 emissions and 3 million gallons of gas. That is no small number. So, I mean, over 1 year, you imagine all the traveling they do. I guess, you know, it's this is like Superman 3. I mean, they're just shaving pennies off the dollar here for every trip they make, but man, does it add up over a long period of time. The drivers probably don't even notice that they're taking less time to do things, because it's maybe 5 seconds here, 3 seconds there, but over the course of the day, it might add up to be, you know, 10 minutes per truck driver. So it's really interesting. I'd like to see this kind of thing applied elsewhere, not just package flow, kind of like a workflow situation where, you know, it's kind of how my mind works on certain levels, where I like to think that I try and find an advantageous route to solving problems here. But it's kind of a neat thing to think about and then move on, which is what we're going to do here. Now, the next little item that I saw right after this very, very hard-hitting, very real thing from UPS about the left-hand turns, which just seems strange in and of itself, Engadget was announcing the USB missile launcher has gone wireless. So, thank God for that. During office warfare, you too will be able to wirelessly control your servo-controlled little Nerf missile launcher. I can't make this stuff up. It's really fun when you see on some of the different tech blogs the dichotomy of geeks' minds. I mean, we have to all suffer from MPD here. I mean, on one hand, I mean, this very show is a dichotomy. I mean, we have caffeine, we have technology, they have, you know, real hard-hitting, you know, green thinking technology on one hand, and then they're talking about USB missile launchers on the other side. Why? Because they're both cool. Cool is this very anomalous subject that is this strange concept that you really can't grasp. It's the zeitgeist of the geek mind to a certain extent. But, and, you know, staying in that same little vein here, I picked this Slashdot article, which said that Merriam-Webster has chosen the word of the year for 2007, and the word is not even entirely made up of letters. That's right, the W00T, the leet-speak version of Woot, has become the... It's a small world that packs a pretty big punch. It's an exclamation of joy. It's a triumphant utterance after the whatever you have wanted to do. I mean, I really, it's, Woot is hard to define, but apparently Merriam-Webster has decided to do so for 2007. 2006 being truthiness and 2007 being Woot. It's just strange, but it's still, it's kind of funny. It's an interjection. They say it's an expressing of joy, could be after a triumph or for no reason at all, or simple or similar in use to the word yay. I would like to submit next year the word yoink, it's as originally proposed by The Simpsons, but still, it just seems kind of weird. I mean, yes, Woot is an interesting word, and they should all actually be in the dictionary if they're in common use, even if they are kind of slang-ish. But at the same point in time, it's like, seriously, Woot is your word of the year? There's nothing anybody else came up with the entire year. I mean, we're not even talking just like flat out, amalgams or compound words or anything here. There's no other word. There's no other piece of technology. There's nothing else that grasps the vastness that was 2007. But Woot. Talk about vapid. So, all right. Moving right along here, how would you like to pull out a nice, tasty frozen treat and get an iPod on the middle of it? Well, apparently a company in Brazil, a Brazilian ice cream company called Caban, has taken it to a crazy new level. They are selling as a promotion 10,000 specially made popsicles that are identical in size and color to the actual thing, frozen with iPod shuffles inside. Now, that's just insanely awesome. I mean, you've heard of cool tech. This is the ultimate in chili tech. You know what I mean? Like what Cracker Jacks are to baseball, where you have this fun little snack where you eat it during a baseball game. Popsicles are going to be for like Cracker Jacks for hockey. I mean, you're really going to be getting an awesome prize. I mean, this is like from back when Cracker Jacks actually gave you like a whistle instead of a stupid sticker. or not even a sticker lately. It's just been like a little cardboard thing. I don't even know if that's actually a prize, so, but still. I want a Dakota ring, damn it. But I was just thought, it was like, man, this is a crazy promotion. This is an awesome promotion. This is like in line with the original McDonald's Monopoly promotion. This is in line with the original Apple and Pepsi pairing where they had the Pepsi codes and you could get the free song under the cap, but like a thousandfold. I mean, figure, okay, 10,000 popsicles or 10,000 iPods, that's a lot of coin right there. And you know that there's going to be people shipping these things from all over the world, not even just to say that they got one, but just to have it, just to have that little moment in time. People are like crazy about that kind of stuff. So mad props to the Pops on that one. I can't even believe I just said that, but all right, next little thing we have up here. We have a couple more things before we let you get on out of here. Just a watch with no respect. That's the only thing I can actually think about saying here. I've been struck lately by the very, like, the soullessness of a lot of the culture that's out there. And I hope that, you know, I see podcasts as kind of a very soulful art. I mean, this isn't just, like, strict. This isn't clinical or anything like that. You're actually listening to somebody else. Hopefully you're making a connection. Every once in a while, a piece of technology or something comes across that I kind of shudder at just a little bit. There's something called a Titanic DNA watch. Now, it's a pretty interesting piece of industrial design. It's an interesting watch, to say the least. But there's a piece of metal around the outside of this watch that's very rusty and nasty looking. Now, what would it be? It's actually a piece of the real Titanic. Yes, an honorarium to the 1,500 people who died on a single day in 1912. Yes, these are all very artsy watches on some hand. They're a designer, you know, made them and all that. These are Romain Jerome watches. I don't even know who that guy is. They're very gorgeous watches, but at the same point in time, I mean, if you're superstitious at all, first of all, you're carrying around a relic that has 1,500 deaths attached to it. And if you're not superstitious at all, there's just a lack of respect, you know, to this. I mean, yes, I understand salvage is an industry, but this is a very real piece of a lot of pain. I mean, I don't understand how this person thought this was a good idea. I don't understand how people thought that this was a fantastic idea, and who's going to buy it. But at the same point in time, I know that there's going to be a lot of people who buy it. I mean, heck, Paris Hilton's probably going to grab one or something like that. But I don't know. I can't, I guess, accurately express what I'm trying to say about this. It just seems like a bad idea in general. The more I look at it, it's like, yeah, that's a watch I would own if it wasn't made from that. You know what I mean? But I don't even know how much these things are going to cost, but it can't be enough to pay for what that is. There should be a certain amount of respect given to people who died in shipwrecks and stuff like that. I mean, yes, I understand the bodies aren't down there anymore, and yes, I understand that the ship is pretty much fair game, but still, it's disappointing, to say the least. All right, now the next little thing we have here is, it's kind of like switching gears a little bit. Don't want to send you out on a down note, so I have some fun little stuff here at the end. Ever cart your laptop around and you have that little open PCMIA slot and you don't have a mouse with you? Well, that's all about to change. This is called the Transforming Evergreen Mouse. It folds up to be the exact same size as a PCMIA card, and it fits into your laptop with no muss and no fuss. It's a USB mouse. For all intents and purposes, this is insanely cool. It's only $37. And that might seem a lot for a mouse, but for a traveler, for somebody who's going on the road, for a business person, not having to pack that extra little thing, but having the convenience of having a mouse is unbelievable. So, I mean, I really like this. This is a great idea. I mean, I don't know if it would fit into the new MacBook Pros, which, by the way, I recently got one from work. I can't be more ecstatic with it. I haven't really taken it through its paces. I'll give you a little update on it in the coming weeks and stuff and whatnot. I don't think it has a normal PCMIA slot on it, but the older MacBook or the older PowerBook, as I have it, and the pretty much every PC laptop that I've seen has had one of these slots, and I've never actually put anything in it. except when, you know, I think in like 1997, I had a laptop, and It didn't have a modem built into it, so I got a modem card, and that's pretty much the last time I used one of them. Everything else has been, you know, USB attachments. So it's about time somebody started using that extra space that, you know, is pretty much unused in every laptop that everybody has. So just, you know, kudos to the guys over at Ogizmo for finding that one. And then the last little thing we're going to send you here is a little bit of whimsy. Hanging fish pod on your wall. Basically, imagine a plastic bubble, cut it in half, and staple it to the wall. And then have a little tiny little hole in the top where you can, you know, aerate and feed the fish. I like this idea. I don't know how big it is. I think it's roughly about a foot in diameter here. And no word yet on exactly how much it costs. But, all right, I'm going to actually check out this. It's from over at a site called postmodernpets.com. And, of course, they don't actually have it linked on their homepage. But still, I mean, it's just an interesting idea. I have fish in work. I have fish at home. I like fish. Fish are cool. So the idea to be able to, you know, take this anywhere, make that space your own, it's kind of really cool. So I just thought I'd pass it along to you. Hopefully somebody will get a little bit of enjoyment out there. All right, and just we want to remind you again, this is the season of giving, and the two charities that we've chosen to link to, and hopefully you will consider in the very least, are Penny Arcade's Child's Play. It's 100% of the money that you donate goes directly to the sick kids and goes directly to providing video games and entertainment and diversion to people who are going through incredibly serious times in their lives. And the other one is to Coffee Kids. This is via the Coffee Geek over at coffeegeek.com. It's a charity basically to help raise the standards of living and help reduce the dependence on the coffee farms that the people in those areas have. It's not saying, yeah, hey, we want to eliminate coffee farms. It's saying that, you know, the entire economic basis for the area should not be reliant on a coffee farm, because if you have one bad storm, one bad winter or something like that, you can wipe out the economic viability of an entire town, and that's ludicrous. So it's really good stuff here. Hopefully you think so as well. All right, now we are running over what we have been doing for the past couple times. I think this has been a pretty good episode, though. This has been Caffeination number 189. Santa's coming, and we gave him a lot of ideas for the different stuff he can play around with here. So hopefully you enjoyed it. Again, this has been Caffeination. This has been the Caffeination Podcast, listed over at www.caffeination.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here, and it's over there as well over at techpodcasts.com. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And last but most certainly not least, this podcast has been a Puzzle Piece production. Find out more about that over at puzzlepiecepro.com. All right, thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.